I've given you the wrong passage, maybe. Let me check again. 2 Peter, please. Chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Peter says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory." And there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now pay particular attention to this next verse. "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the last day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I want to preach on this thought this morning from the 103rd Psalm. Remember what Peter said. These men were not moved by their own will, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. In the 103rd Psalm, it's a Psalm of David. We want to preach to you from the thoughts found in this psalm. Verse 1, Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto all the voice of his word," or hearkening unto the voice of his word. "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." The title of our message will be taken from verse number 1. And our desire and our prayer is that God would impress this upon us this morning as his people. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This psalm is written in such a way that it, first of all, has a personal message to it from David and his relationship to God. And then it has a general relationship a little further into the psalm. You'll see that. Last of all, it has a special relationship to all of God's creation, including the angels. We don't know the situation in which David wrote this. Sometimes we'll have some inscriptions underneath the title. But this is just called a Psalm of David. And I believe it expresses what David so much felt, and as he wrote the Psalms, he wrote so many of the 150 Psalms. How was he able to do that? What was his state of mind as he thought upon the Lord? That's so important. As he cries out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." My desire is that God would help us understand the words of this man were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. These were not David's words per se alone. These were written by David. It was his experience, but it was written secondarily for our benefit. And if God would help us this morning to get into his thinking, to get into his heart, to realize what he's saying. His desire, bless the Lord. The word bless means to kneel down in obeisance, to kneel down in admiration, to kneel down in dedication and love. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul. Your soul. May God help us to bless the Lord. He's worthy of all that we can give him. He repeats it in verse 2. And he puts a little emphasis on this time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Why should we bless the Lord this morning? Why should we want to get into the mind and heart and the thoughts of David as he wrote this so many hundreds of years ago? And God, in his great providence and grace, has given us this record that we might read it and try to get into what's in David's heart and pray that God would help us to have this kind of a heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget about David. Think about yourself. And all that is within me. Oh, if we knew the depths of that. Our soul is something we cannot see, we cannot touch, but it's the center of our emotions and our thoughts and our loves and the things that really mean a lot to us. And David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is here that I am. May it bless the Lord. May God help us to bless him today. And then he says, forget not all of his benefits. We have so much to bless the Lord for. We have so many benefits from him. First thing he lists is in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Every time I think about this, it staggers my mind. All thy iniquities, how many do you have? How many do I have? How many times have we done things that are considered by God to be iniquitous? They're not for his glory. They're in a spirit that's very unbecoming to who we say we are. But the Bible says he forgiveth all thine iniquities. He forgives them all freely. Who healeth all thy diseases. That word diseases isn't talking just about something in our body that is wrong or that hurts. It's talking about something in here that is wrong, that is hurt for one reason or another. Who can heal all these wrongs that we hold against people? even the wrongs that we hold against ourselves for the things that we have not done that we should have done. The guilt that we feel because we know the Lord is so worthy of so much and we've come so short. But David said he healeth all thy diseases. No one can fix a broken heart like God. No one can help a person who's really hurting inwardly because of shortcomings or because of hatefulness and meanness and the things that we are. No one can deal with that like God can. And David says he healeth all thy diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, we so many times think of redemption as just redemption of the soul, but notice the writers, the translators here, word it, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. There's more to the Christian life than just the soul. There's a body to be redeemed. There's a life to be redeemed. There's a life to be spared from a lot of ruin and heartache and things that are affecting this world every day. But who is it that keeps back from us back from these things? He redeems our life from destruction. He won't let many things touch us that are touching others. Don't get proud. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. You better remember that. We are what we are by the grace of God. If God keeps us back from all the things that are around us, all the diseases, all the hurts, all the terrible things that are happening to people, for that we need to bless the Lord. And notice he continues, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I was interested in this word, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. It means to surround, like a crown would be set on the head that surrounds the crown of the head, but this word means to surround about. God surrounds us with loving kindness on every hand. He's above us, he's underneath us, he's all around us. And here's God's loving kindness protecting us, understanding us, forgiving us, and with tender mercy, not just with mercy, but with tender mercy, because he knows what we are and he knows who we are. Amen. David uses this statement a lot about tender mercies in his writings. He uses it pretty frequently. But verse 5 says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. What about you today? Can you bless the Lord for all that he's done for you personally? Who satisfies, satiates more than you need, more than you ever thought you would ever have. He satiates, he surroundeth thee, he satisfies thy mouth with good things, while many in the world are receiving evil things. But he satiated us and he filled us with the good things of life, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You like that? And Ben was talking this morning. We're getting old in our churches. Many of our churches, people are getting old. But we thank God when God saves one like Leah, a young one. It renews my strength like an eagle's. I'm ready to go again. He keeps us going. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, let's just look at this verse. I don't want to deviate too much from this, but I do want to read a passage in Isaiah chapter 40 that applies to this and kind of amplifies it. Isaiah 40, talking about the coming of Christ. Isaiah 40, in verse 31, the last verse in this chapter. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. I'll tell you, we've got some weary people here this morning from all that they've done this week. It's been a struggle, but they shall run and not be weary. That weariness can be overcome because of the loving kindness of God. He surrounded us with it. They shall walk and not faint. Thank God for His word, which encourages us and lifts up our hearts in times when we tend to get discouraged. But back in our text, verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We have that promise. Vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. I will repay. We don't have to be angry at people or angry at situations in our life when we understand that God will take care of those things. Oh, that God would help us to fall back on that when we need to. Verse 7, He make known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. How many times? And thank God for Moses and what he means to us. All those books that he wrote. The instruction of God. God told him, write these things. Put them in a book, he said. So we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He revealed his ways to Moses and made known his ways. His acts unto the children of Israel. We can read the Old Testament record and see how God dealt with them and their great need, even though they were so unworthy. He opened up the Red Sea and let them pass over dry shod. Then swallowed up the armies of Pharaoh right behind them. That's not a fairy tale. We read that in Peter. We're not following devised fairy tales. These things are real. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. If for nothing else this morning, will make you bless the Lord. You ought to bless the Lord that He's slow to anger. We've done enough to make Him angry. But He's slow to anger. Brother Cole says in his book, I always love this thought. God is long of nose. He doesn't get angry quick. He's like an old bull. You know, a bull gets, he gets a snorting and snuffing. But God is long of nose. He doesn't get angry quickly. And we ought to bless the Lord for that. Because so many times we openly and deliberately do things that are against God. He's so patient with us. You'll see this in just a minute. He's plenteous in mercy. His mercy endureth forever. We read in the 136th Psalm. How many times? His mercy endureth forever. He's plenteous in mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. He's plenteous in mercy. He can forgive me and love me and do right by me because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 9, He'll not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. I want to notice here there's a change from the personal thoughts of David and his crying out to God to let him bless the Lord. Verse 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Think about that for a minute. You know, sometimes in the Bible, when people sinned against God, judgment immediately. He opened up the earth and swallowed up those that were opposing Moses, and particularly Aaron. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them all up. But He reminds us He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Through the mercy and grace that's found in Jesus Christ. The only people that can really bless the Lord are people who have had forgiveness of sins and they have a relationship with God through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other attempts are vain because without the Lord Jesus Christ as our intercessor, we have no access to God. But read on. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Them that fear Him. Do you fear the Lord this morning? Do you fear the creator of heaven and earth, the one that the Bible describes as your next breath is in his hand. The one who knows your down sitting and your uprising. The one who knows your thoughts far off. Do you fear him? Should we fear him? We certainly should. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy? Well, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Remember that song? Why am I happy? My sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west. Now notice verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Not just David, but them throughout the world. And to this day and into the future, the Lord pities those that fear him, that respect him, that honor him for who he is. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows who we are. He made us. He breathed unto us in the person of Adam, our father, the breath of life. And we all came from Adam. And God remembers that he formed us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into us in the person of Adam, the breath of life. And we're here today because of Adam and Eve. We came from them. And God remembers that. Notice how he emphasizes it in verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I thought about this and my own children, you know. The Lord first saved me. My children were small and I had the wrong conception about it. Tim suffered for it severely. They were going to be the best children in the church. That wasn't nothing but vanity and pride on my part. He got a lot of lickings, as they might say. He was full of life as you can stick. And to try to get him set in church, almost by the time he was out of diapers, was a pretty impossible task. And I made many a trip from where I sit in Brown Station, out the back, over by the gas tank, and paddle his behind. Many times I go home and just weep because I knew I was missing something somewhere. So he wasn't responding like I thought he ought to. But you know what was missing with me? I didn't realize that Tim can't be a man while he's still a child. He has to grow. He has to be taught. It takes time for a child to become a man. And it takes training for them to know to sit in church. It doesn't just happen automatically. But more than anything else, I look back and I know it wasn't anything but my silly pride. I used to laugh at Helen Kidd because her kids were so mean. I kind of use her as an example. Bless her heart. She's gone now. But she used to laugh at me when we went out the church door after church. She'd laugh at me. You're learning now, aren't you? I wasn't learning a whole lot because I still thought there's going to be the best kids in the world. But you know, God, I thought about that. As a father pitieth his children, I didn't have something in me I needed. I needed understanding. I need to pity them. They were just babies. They were just children. They were just small. They weren't adults yet. But I was going to make them act like adults whether they were or not. You know, I've seen so many cases, and I'll not name names, but I've seen so many cases where the parents were so strict and so hard on their children, and they made them sit like a rock. They just looked like a stick in church. But you know where those children are today? They're out of church because there was no pity in the parents. No understanding that they have to grow up. They have to mature before they can. You understand what you're even trying to get them to do. But thank God for this. And bless the Lord, O my soul, that God did not deal with me like I dealt with my own children. I'm ashamed of that today. I've apologized particularly to Tim many times, because it seemed like I experimented all on him. He was a little bit older. But we need to learn to understand and to pity our children. God does. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. So secondly, I want you to see that in a general sense, God pities even those that don't know him yet, because he knows what they are. They're still growing up. They've not been born again yet. They're still in this world. It may be his elect. But he pities them. And I thank God many times he pitied me when I was lost. He didn't come down on me like he could have. Notice verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. It's righteousness unto the children's children. So there's a universal message here from David, not just a personal thing. I believe Romans 1 teaches the same thing. But let's go on. To such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. God expects his angels to bless him. Now you know, as you study the Bibles, that they're more powerful than we are. Satan is the most powerful creation of God, and he fell by transgression. But it says, bless the Lord, ye angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And when they didn't keep his commandments, he cast them down in the chains of darkness. No mercy, no redemption, no forgiveness. When they failed in the commandment of God, they were immediately cut off. And were cast down with Satan because they followed him. Let's read on. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. The Bible speaks of the hosts of heaven. Numbers that cannot really be numbered. The hosts of heaven. Ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So even the spirit beings that God has created, bless the Lord. What do we see when we look in the book of Revelation in chapter number 4 and we see that heavenly scene? We see the angels around the throne. We see the beings around the throne. What are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They're blessing the Lord because they know who he is. And yet, beloved, these beings that always do the will of God do it willingly. They do it joyfully. And they're not ashamed to bow before him, to exalt him, to praise his name in every regard. And David speaks that. All ye his ministers that do his pleasure, bless the Lord. I want to close by going back to the first verse. Because this is what moved me. You can actually look right into the depths of David's heart when you read this verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That inner part of me that reasons and thinks and loves and hates. Bless the Lord, O my soul. and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David was a man, as the Bible describes, in another place after God's own heart. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man described by God as after his own heart. And if you might attribute why God would think that to him, you might look at these verses and see. And I believe there's a pattern there that we ought to at least see and consider and want to follow. We ought to want to bless the Lord. We ought to be grateful to the Lord. We ought to acknowledge him. Everything we have came from him. Every blessing. Even the things that aren't so wonderful. Every sickness. Every time something happens that upsets our apple cart. That's what Romans 8:28 is all about. It's to encourage us. All things work together for good to them that love God. That includes the bad things. And through it all, we need to do this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But especially in all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now we'll turn to Psalm 150 and close with the last verse of this 150th Psalm. This is a psalm of praise. The psalmist in verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's our message. I trust God.